White theologians and I read King and the Bible from different social locations and thus with different hermeneutical interests. We both read selectively, they from a liberal white dominant viewpoint and I from a radical black perspective of the marginalized. I was willing to acknowledge this hermeneutical difference and suggested that my view was closer to King and the Bible than theirs. But white theologians argued that my reading was subjective and ideological, and theirs was objective and correct. Because we were unwilling to concede each other's hermeneutical point, dialogue between us was nearly impossible. While most white theologians ignored black liberation theology, preferring instead to dialogue with Latin American liberation theology and feminist theology, a few engaged black theology in their writings at conferences and in academic societies. They were not put off by black theology's rage or its accent on blackness, for they realized that there was much justification for it. Still, these theologians pressed for the universality of the Christian gospel, which could not be limited by the particularity of the black experience. I insisted that there is no universality that is not particular, no knowledge of God's revelation in the U.S. that did not arise out of the black struggle against white supremacy. Black theologians challenged me from both a different and similar angle. Some questioned whether I had focused too little on the African origin of black religion and too much on the white theology I learned in graduate school. They claimed that my black theology was not black enough, that is, not attentive to the otherness of black religion, particularly as revealed in non-Christian sources. I acknowledged the need to pay careful attention to the African and black religion, but not to the extent that the God of Jesus would be rendered marginal in black theological discourse. Other African-American scholars felt that the politics of black liberation needed to be balanced with an equal accent on black-white reconciliation. In addition, they saw my theological ethics as arbitrary and not sensitive to rational debate and responsible conclusions. This black critique reminded me of similar criticisms by white theologians. I was not too kind in my response because I felt that these black theologians were more concerned about not offending white oppressors than they were about empowering oppressed blacks in their struggle against white supremacy. Another critique of black theology sought to undermine its central claim. If God is liberating blacks from oppression, why then are they still oppressed? Where is the decisive liberation event in African American history which gives credibility to black theologians' claim? There is no easy response to this critique, since there is no rationally persuasive answer to the problem of theodicy. Faith is born out of suffering, and suffering is faith's most powerful contradiction. This is the Christian dilemma. The only meaningful Christian response is to resist unjust suffering and to accept the painful consequence of that resistance. Except for the incorporation of inclusive language, little has been changed in this edition of God of the Oppressed. It still represents my basic theological perspective, that the God of biblical faith and black religion is partial toward the weak. There have been, however, significant developments in my thinking as a result of the gender critique of feminists and womanists, the class analysis of third-world theologians, and the challenge of second-generation black theologians. Since I have written about these matters elsewhere, there is no need to comment on them here. There are two critical issues, however, that have escaped adequate attention: the Bible and Christology, both of which are best understood in relation to continuity with my earlier work. I still regard the Bible as an important source of my theological reflections, but not the starting point. The black experience and the Bible together in dialectical tension serve as my point of departure today and yesterday. The order is significant. I am black first, and everything else comes after that. This means that I read the Bible through the lens of a black tradition of struggle and not as the objective Word of God. The Bible, therefore, is one witness to God's empowering presence in human affairs, along with other important testimonies. The other testimonies include sacred documents of the African-American experience, such as the speeches of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr., the writings of Zora Neale Hurston and Toni Morrison, the music of the blues, jazz, and rap. Liberating stories, myths, and legends are also found among